The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I remember it was probably 10 years ago, I noticed the remarkable similarity between what was going on at many megachurches and late night television. For me, the point of reference at the time was David Letterman. Sounds kind of quaint, doesn't it? That now reclusive bearded man once ruled the airwaves at night. And golly, the megachurch on Sunday morning seemed an awful lot like segments of his show. Well, now late night television has changed. David was a little acerbic. Now it's all acerbic all the time, especially Samantha Bee. We're going to be talking about the Church of Feminism. Joy Pullman is our guest, managing editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Nine Similarities Between Samantha Bee's Megachurch and Evangelical Heretics, and a forthcoming book, The Education Invasion. Joy, welcome back.
Thank you.
So who is Samantha Bee, and why do you call her show and its media following a megachurch?
Well, Samantha Bee is a, calls herself a comedian. I don't find her show very funny, but she has a show called Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and it's a spinoff kind of. She used to work on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show, and so she's kind of one of his intellectual, his comedic kids. And actually, the megachurch comparison isn't from me. It's from someone quoted by this writer in the Los Angeles Times who recently did a profile on the show. And one of the ladies who likes to go frequently says, you know, tells the writer that she calls going to the show feminist church.
Let's talk about some of the similarities that are there. You begin by talking about the similarities being a cult of personality around a charismatic leader.
Yes, well, I mean, so this got me to thinking. It's pretty. I don't know. For someone like me who takes my religious faith seriously, I don't really feel a lot of similarities between my faith and politics. And you know, Samantha Bee's show and the other ones like it are largely political kind of satire. Like you said, they're acerbic, they're biting. So I had to think about that a little bit. And so then I did realize that I think there's a lot of what you call a pop American Christianity that's really mixed up in the kind of the late night culture. And so, of course, like you just mentioned, one of, you know, the things, ways that they're alike is this cult of personality around a charismatic leader. And, of course, on TV, you know, you need a TV show host or two to kind of carry the program along with a person, you know, personality. And, of course, in the megachurch world, it's very common to have parishioners. And, I mean, I've been to megachurches. I have friends who attend them, you know. So I grew up, I mean, you know, kind of mainstream charismatic evangelical. And so it is very popular. It's very common for people in that kind of community to be, you know, saying things like, oh, well, you know, I go for the pastor. I feel like he really speaks personally to me. The ethos is kind of somebody, you know, who is a fan of a rock star, a fan of a television host, as opposed to kind of parishioner who's under the care of a less, you know, a less rock star-like faithful shepherd of God's sheep.
What about the commonality of skits and rock music during the service, be it late night television or Sunday morning?
Well, one of the big things for me, again, having kind of come out of that style of evangelicalism with lots of friends and family still, you know, kind of involved in those kinds of churches, is that I realized that a lot of the service is largely entertainment for a megachurch style kind of church. So rather than focusing on the objectivity of what God is doing for his people in church, it is a lot more like an entertainment show. So you have people doing skits on. I mean, again, I have friends who are actually on their church's drama team, you know, which will every couple of weeks at the pastor's request, you know, act out a certain sort of illustration that he wants to use in his sermon. They do this right on the altar. They wear period costumes. You know, sometimes they're dressing up like animals. It's just kind of a variety show going on Sunday during church service. So that's, of course, exactly like, you know, the secular entertainment world, you know, where we just do what feels good and what gets a laugh and what gets people's attention.
That tends to be kind of a self-perpetuating thing, doesn't it? When people are entertained, they want to see more. There tends to be more, right?
Sure. Well, it teaches people what they are should be expecting from church, rather. So, I mean, it trains the flock to be gratifying their own desires, that they should be not bored, for example, right? That they should, you know, that the church service is all about them and their needs and their feelings. And now I actually, you know, it's hard for me to speak about this with precision because, you know, partly the church service is for God's people, but not just to make us feel good. It's to give us what is good for us, which doesn't always coincide with what makes us feel good. So, for example, during Lent, I've been trying to go to confession more, and that does not feel good. It feels terrible. But it's one of God's gifts given to me, you know, to help me, you know, be more in His image, you know, to strengthen my faith. And so that's, you know, again, that's kind of the purpose of a church service. But again, that's exactly opposite what the purpose of entertainment, TV shows, and a lot of mega church style services are.
How are the Samantha Bee kind of church of feminism and mega churches, real mega churches, how are they similar in their teaching of salvation by works?
I found this really interesting. So in the Los Angeles Times article, it kind of describing how the Samantha Bee show works, it kind of collects together a community of people who have kind of the same political identity. And then it's been lately, since President Trump was elected, trying to kind of be an organizing hub for what they're calling the resistance. So that's people who, you know, are going to do whatever, use whatever freedoms they have to thwart, you know, President Trump and his employees' intentions and agenda. Okay, so during Samantha Bee's show, the article describes, you know, them giving basically talking, not only talking points, but kind of action items to their little church, you know, saying, go out and call your senators. Oh, look, this bill is coming up. So it's kind of not just only functioning as entertainment, but entertainment that aims to get people doing political action. So that was really fascinating for me because, I talk about it in the article, and it's kind of philosophically complex, I guess. But it's an interesting parallel, I think, between that and the salvation by works that is typically preached in among the Joel Osteen types. And of course, I've learned this from your show, you know, the sermon reviews that you guys do, talking about how it's actually not the gospel, you know, to tell people that God is doing all these good things for you. Because if you don't have what look like good things in your life, then you may be tempted to think, oh no, I've got to step up my game. I have to do something to push God's buttons to get Him to give me His grace and His gifts. Otherwise, maybe I'm not saved.
Then, with about a minute before we take a break, and this would probably shock many people who go to church on Sunday mornings at the big box churches thinking, I'm a rock rig conservative, not really aware of the fact that these churches do tend away from theological conservatism.
Right. Well, actually, that's I expect that to be increasing very much more. So usually the trend, and I did a survey while writing this article, just kind of looking at the biggest mega churches in the country and what their pastor's kind of political stance has been. And usually it's either neutral. Joel Osteen tries to be, you know, pretty neutral, or it is left. So it's basically only safe typically to be politically on the left side. And I expect that to continue because, again, a megachurch is based on what makes people feel comfortable and feel good. And as American culture trends more and more against traditional, you know, orthodox Christianity, it's not going to feel good to be hearing the truth that Christianity preaches. So I expect, you know, again, more that trend to continue.
Joy Pullman is our guest. We're talking about the Church of Feminism in the form of Samantha Bee's late-night television program and its audience and its affinity for big-box Christianity in the U.S. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We'll be right back.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In Western societies where the most basic notions of right and wrong are not only denied but actively suppressed, recovering a biblical and distinctly Christian understanding of the natural law is absolutely essential.
Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Traditionally, Christians have understood that man is not born a blank slate just waiting to be programmed like a machine. We are moral creatures whose imaginations are darkened by sin. Yet every person still has a basic understanding of right and wrong because God has revealed it to us in his creation through natural law. Denying the vital role of natural law has grave consequences, not only for society, but for the church's crucial task of proclaiming the gospel.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for natural law Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, March the 29th, we're talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about Samantha Bee's Church of Feminism and Pop American Christianity. Joy, what is the sacrament of both Samantha Bee's Church of Feminism and Pop American Christianity?
Well, I mean, I think you could fairly say that it's a lot of things, but in this article I say that it is the self. Basically, the God of both the religion and politics embodied by these two kinds of megachurches is the individual and his will to power. So in politics, you know, we see that as basically in progressivism, which basically does not see there being any limiting principle on what is appropriate or feasible for government to do. And in megachurches, we see this kind of soothing, comfort-filled atmosphere that is entirely designed to please the self without regard to the self's moral health.
What are the, I guess, the message, the sermons about in these respective churches, so to speak?
Well, it's interesting because to me they read a lot of like the pop psychology's kind of self-help books, although, of course, they're really short. They tend to have cute little like alliteration, you know, or acrostics to help you remember the main points of the pastor's message. And they will, you know, often include kind of a sprinkling of excerpts of Bible verses, but it's very short and also, and always, you know, the happy, like uplifting ones. So that is actually kind of another, both a difference and a similarity between the Samantha Bee types and the megachurch types because, you know, as we've discussed, Samantha Bee's tone is very angry, it's bitter, and I just really find it lacking in joy and in humor, even though it means to be humor. But then, you know, the tone in the megachurch is, you know, it's not bitter, it's comfortable, you know, it's kind of, I call it precious moments Christianity, you know. So if you just think about those little figurines, it's entirely devoid of all, not only the structure and the proper proportion that would be appropriate for better art, but it also, you know, it saccharines, you know, up the reality of life and of what Christ has done for us.
You also see a similarity in, well, for lack of a better term, the virtue signaling that is common to both.
Yeah, I was just kind of digesting this article and this concept, and so my faith history, I don't know the right words to use, but I grew up where the word faith movement was very popular. I mean, I literally, you know, have people who told me, do not say bad things that are true because that will make the bad things happen more, you know, so we couldn't talk about difficult issues in our family because saying the truth was regarded as, you know, giving, I don't know, spiritual power, you know, making evil things manifest in your life or something is very confusing and also not healthy. But I also see a lot of this happening within, you know, the kind of progressive slacktivist culture, because there's this phenomenon called virtue signaling that's popular among millennials on social media. What you see is people will do something to demonstrate their fidelity to a progressive political cause. They'll post an article, they'll like an article, they'll make a statement, they'll wear a certain, you know, pink hat, so on and so forth. And so they put all of this effort into essentially meaningless activity. You know, wearing a t-shirt or a hat does not actually help a hungry person. it doesn't help women, you know, who are struggling to care for babies, you know, without a partner, so on and so forth. So it's called slacktivism because all it serves really is to make the person who does it feel good about themselves rather than helping another person. So I think these kind of two impulses are related, where you get kind of virtue points for what you say rather than for what you do.
You also say that they have a similar view toward human suffering. What is it?
Well, that there shouldn't be any. So I, in my article, I actually quote George W. Bush's famous statement, when somebody hurts, government's got to move. And that, to me, is kind of epitomizes progressive thinking about government because, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's no limiting principle for what is proper and efficacious for government to do in the progressive worldview. So anytime there is any single problem identified, and it can be literally as minuscule as the way that men look at women on subways, you know, people demand that government somehow vaguely nebulously do something. And the same thing, and you know, just because someone felt momentary discomfort or, you know, took momentary discomfort and made that little molehill a mountain. And so, of course, you see, again, a similar impulse in megachurches where the cross isn't talked about, right? We don't hear about the fact that maybe the hardships in your life are not just to be kind of, you pull yourself up through by your bootstraps and you show the victory, you know, because I can't even, you know, say the language anymore because it doesn't make sense to me, you know, but you basically just give yourself a pep talk and get over it. And that doesn't work for cancer. That doesn't work maybe for a divorce, you know? And so that sort of emptiness, I think, drives people to despair rather than giving the sheep what they need, which is the comfort of God's word.
With only about 30 seconds here, yours is really more an indictment of pop American Christianity than of Samantha Bee and her media following, isn't it?
Well, right, because, yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, because, again, I don't think that government can fulfill these existential needs. You know, government cannot heal the pain of your divorce. Government cannot heal the pain of your child, you know, going off and being addicted to drugs. And, I mean, and again, you can't expect a lot of answers for the existential problems in life, but you can go to the church and you can receive God's gifts and you can have your faith strengthened by his words of comfort and truth. So the church is supposed to be providing that to an empty people. That's not the job of the entertainment industry, but the church, you know, many churches are not providing what God has given to them, you know, to preserve and to administer to his flock in order, you know, to heal their souls and to bind up their wounds and to care for, you know, their deep needs. So I do think it is much more an indictment of the church for not doing its job, because at the end of the day, you know, entertainment just is supposed to make us feel good for a little bit. And the church is supposed to perform God's function in helping heal our souls and preserve them towards eternity. And so the latter one is a much more serious commission, and it's more grievous when it's not carried out.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of a recent column titled 9 Similarities Between Samantha Bee's Megachurch and Evangelical Heretics, and a forthcoming book, The Education Invasion. You can read her column at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Folks, LCMS Disaster Response continues to provide spiritual and human care in the New Orleans area after the southeastern Louisiana was hit last month by an estimated 6 tornadoes. You can find out about their efforts at lcms.org/disaster, providing physical and spiritual care in the wake of disasters. LCMS Disaster Response, lcms.org/disaster. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's our weekly media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.